This episode of Manage Smarter is presented by Sales Fuel Consulting, leading experts for assessing and transforming management, sales, culture, and team performance. Learn more at salesfuel.com.
And welcome to part two of our conversation with Tricia Benn, learning her top tips on what to focus on in the C-suite to harness maximum success.
Welcome to the Manage Smarter podcast with hosts C. Lee Smith and Audrey Strong. We're glad you're here for discussions on new ways to manage smarter, hire, develop, and retain talent, improve results, and propel team performance to new heights. This is the Manage Smarter podcast.
One of the things that you like to do is help companies figure out how to bridge the gender gap in leadership. How do you advise them to do that?
I mean, so I think there's some really simple, practical things. You know, you create opportunities for people to sit as peers at the table. And that's why I love the mission of what we're doing in the Hero Club. Everybody sits as a peer. And it's not just about gender. It's not just about race. You know, there's so many things that the power of diversity is critical for. There's age. I can't believe ageism. You could never say the things you say about millennials, about any other grouping of people. And get away with it. It's just gotta let that go. You know, there are amazing strengths that millennials have. Let's focus on the strengths.
My best employees are millennials. Actually, it's like all the millennials. Every single one of them are absolutely fantastic. So
exactly, and then be very practical to like different things you can do. So just a really simple solution is, you know, for me when I'm looking at speakers. So I run more than 60 live events a year across North America. Mostly CEOs, founders, investors, and then other senior executive level folks. And when my team says, okay, who do you want to speak at this event? Who should we invite? I will have them walk me through the directory because I have bias too. Now, if I knew what those biases were, I would really work hard to avoid them. However, when you're just going from the recollection of your brain, those will come out in various ways depending on what's happening or what you're focused on in the moment. And so to go through and systematically say, okay, who do we have in the membership that has that expertise? Are we making sure we're getting a diverse perspective and so on? And just making that so that you actually have to go through it, not just top of head, top of mind types of answers. It's quicker, but it's not the best. And if you're looking at the results and the importance of that diversity of perspective, there's so many things to be said about it. And the reason that I was saying it with such conviction when we were talking about it a couple minutes ago is because during the recession 2008-2009, my team was the only team, and I have documentation of this in the whole area of the business that I was in a $20 billion company, that continued to grow during that period of time, 20% year over year.
Wow.
I had an incredibly diverse team that was able to be agile and really get in there and solve for the problems that our clients were facing. And so we became that much more trusted a solution, a supporter, and we continue to grow. And if we hadn't had that diversity, I don't believe we would have been in that position whatsoever.
Interesting. You put something in your pre-show questionnaire that I thought was interesting. You talked about choice sets. What are those for people who don't know, and why should I be thinking about them?
So I think, and this is something as I started to reflect on it more recently, we're taught that everything in life is a binary choice. I say yes or I say no. I am a mother or I'm a professional.
Right? Pepsi, founder. Apple or PC.
Everything's this binary choice making. And what I'd like to think of, and what I would really challenge others to think of, and this is why I say my choices are my choices, but that's just one example. You know, there are million choice sets, and just because we choose one choice in one moment doesn't mean that there aren't a million others that we have the power and the ability to make, and to think of ourselves as a multifaceted choice set. You know, and one practical way that this plays out, and it's a really simple one, you hear it all the time. Oh, I don't want to make a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I don't want to make a mistake. If I accept this or I do this, I say yes to that, then what if it's the wrong choice? And I say, well, it brings you closer to whatever the next choice is.
So, I like that.
You know, these are choice sets. It's not yes or no forever. My goodness.
It's not a flip switch. It's a dimmer switch.
Exactly. There's so much, you know, there's so much out there and there's so much to experience and so many great people that genuinely care about their impact. So, you know, for goodness sake, give yourself that opportunity. And for if we can do anything for the next generations coming up is to really widen that aperture, you know, for, it doesn't matter, male, female, you know, anything else.
Yeah. If you can make me money, welcome aboard. That's it.
Right. You know, yeah. Come on board. Yeah, if you can contribute, right? Yeah. Exactly.
But how can you advise female executives to kind of make a difference in the industry like you are? I mean, should they be approaching, should going to heroesceoclub.com or csuitenetwork.com and getting in touch with you and asking into the Hero Club? I'm sure that's one route you would highly recommend.
I absolutely love that. We have some phenomenal women in our membership, and I'm so thrilled. We went from when we first acquired the club and started running it about a year and a half ago, we went from one woman to about 30% of our membership. Well, we've grown it tenfold, are women, and really excited about that because this space, the corner office, the highest level, entrepreneurs that are trying to get money, investment dollars, etc. The population and percentage of women and other visible minorities is really terrible. There's no other word. There's no other word for it. It's bad. It's pathetic. And so the women that we have in our membership are just absolutely
amazing.
Phenomenal. Yeah, and then Lee, I mean, you can speak to this. When we have everyone together, that peer-to-peer interaction is so phenomenal. And the door is open for all those conversations.
It allows us to have conversations like the one you and I had, which started off the show. And because that's not a topic that I feel comfortable talking about with a lot of people, because it's like it's filled with crutches and judgment and things of that nature. And for me, it's like I really want to understand. And I'm really curious. And then also I want to know how I can help. And I can't do that unless I feel safe enough to actually have the conversation. And that's what another thing I think that's really great about what you're doing.
Yeah, it's and I think, you know, those ways that we can really bring people in instead of hurting them, right? So did you make a mistake in what you said? I'll give you an example. I'm 48 years old.
It's probably something I said, isn't it?
No. No, it's not, Lee. But it's something any one of us could make a mistake with in today's day and age. And in some ways you think, how could that happen? But it's so easy. So I was at an event with my business partner. He is absolutely phenomenal, dynamic, incredible experience. So obviously speaking of Jeffrey Hazlett, global CMO of Eastman Kodak, bought and sold over 250 businesses. I mean, truly incredible. I'm at an event with him. And he talks about, you know, the entourage he had when he was at Kodak. And somebody, a man, came up to me afterward. And you know, I know the viewers can't see me, but I am 48 years old. I have that experience and a bunch of
other. Doesn't look anywhere near it. Don't believe her.
That is true.
I'm looking pretty legit, you know. Let's put it that way. And a man comes up to me and he says, oh, are you the one who gets Jeffrey's coffee? Yeah, really.
Oh, my God.
And this is just a couple weeks ago. And I said, you know, I'm not. And what I said was, and I could say, you know, I could slap him. I could make him feel really terribly. Or I could leave it in a scenario where he could think about it and understand that I was being very graceful in how I responded to that question. Mm-hmm. And so what I said to him was, no, I'm not the person who gets his coffee. However, we do travel together a great deal, and we're very kind to each other. In other words, he gets my coffee for me as often as I would get his coffee.
There you go. Mm-hmm. That's a good answer.
And that's what colleagues do, right? That's what great business partners do. They support each other.
You didn't shame. You didn't shame, but you made him think.
Right. And then, you know, and I didn't know him at all. And I'm sure once he had time to think about it, he thought, oh my goodness, how could I have said that? Right. But we all say stupid things. You know, we all have those moments where you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that. And that just made it so that, you know, he would know I wasn't taking it, you know, as a personal offense, but it was something that maybe he could reframe to think about a little differently.
So let's say that there's a young Trisha Benn out there who is just getting started in business, and she wants to she wants that corner office. She aspires to be on the board, and she looks at her leadership, and it doesn't look like ours. Like the leadership of my company is 2/3 female, and they're fabulous, by the way. But let's say that it's all male. Even let's paint a better picture. That's all white and male. So what's your advice to her?
My advice would be truly focus on what you can control. There's a lot to be said for what the Stoics teach us. So build your community. Certainly have your communities that are supporting you. That is very powerful. I'm very supportive of great women executive groups and aspiring women's mentoring and so on. That's important. But when it comes to the work, focus on the work and really never lose sight of that. So I have like 5 things that I'm really focused on with that. And I don't care if you're male or female. This is just, to me, what's important. It's okay to make yourself vulnerable in terms of, this is where I am and what I need to do, especially as you become more senior. When you're junior, okay. Not as much. But as you're reaching those different levels, in order to bring your team in, you need to be real. You need to be authentic. You need to be somebody they can relate to and understand where you're coming from. You need to build the strengths. We talked about that. And then in terms of, how you drive the business forward, always stay close to the financials. There is nothing worse than the degrees of separation from the money in the organization. And so Lee and Audrey, you focus on sales. There's nothing closer to the numbers. Mm-hmm. As you get that responsibility, driving those numbers, keeping track of those numbers, understanding your numbers, the higher you get in your organization, the more critical it is to never lose sight of your financials and what you're tracking, what measures success, what means that you get to hire, what means you're on track for whatever the next stages in business development are, or your own career path, whatever it might be. And that ties right into my next one, which is measure what matters. I know that fits with you. And then the other thing that I think is really important is sometimes we can get too much into our heads. So really living in the moment, and maybe separating a little bit from social media as well, and truly living in the moment. So remembering to do those things that really feed us and make us appreciate life and appreciate all of the effort we're putting in.
So if I were to paraphrase one of the things you just said, tell me if this is actually, that I understood this correctly. Because it sounded to me like you said, the closer you are to the numbers, the more power you have.
Absolutely. 100%. So some of the most difficult jobs there are, let's look at HR. So recently I just moderated the panel of experts on the Employee Engagement Awards for North America. And you look at the HR role, no connection to the P&L, very little power in the organization, really challenging position to be in. So the advice I have for that role is, my goodness, anything you can do to to look at how what you do impacts and is part of the financials of the organization is absolutely paramount. You can't do anything more important than that, because you have no power in the organization to do any good whatsoever if you don't connect yourself to the financials of the organization. And it doesn't mean I have to say, I'm making the company $100,000, therefore I'm important and I get to have a say on something. But what it does mean is that you are connected to the objectives of the organization, and you can participate in the conversations that happen about what's driving the success of the organization. And so, those pieces are really critical. And my own experience, I came through market research. The only reason that I was able to progress the way I did is because I went to a $20 billion company. I was incredibly disruptive, totally disruptive. I took a traditional millions of dollars spend for market research, and I turned it into a revenue-generating, multi-million-dollar insights practice. So I absorbed all of the research we were spending money on, and then I became competition to my suppliers by selling research into the market. And so what happened was, I was then so connected to the P&L while the media business was being hit by digital disruption and the recession hit, I was generating revenue. So I got to sit two company advisory boards because I was generating significant growth in revenue for all of the brands we serve, and in very, very challenging times. And so that's when I really understood. And I had a whole, you would be very proud of me, Liam and Audrey.
I'm always very proud.
This is a long time ago, but I had a whole matrix of all the revenue I was generating, my number of employees delivering on that. I had everything tracked and measured out. And I would go to my division head and I would say, look, these are the numbers. This is what I'm generating. I need this many hires. I need, you know, this much in terms of resourcing and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And he hated that. He hated that matrix, but he had to use it. And so did I.
You gotta respect the matrix.
Yeah, but you're an expert in scalability. I mean, you're justifying everything you're trying to do.
100%. And that's another thing is it doesn't have to be perfect. It just needs to be consistent.
Yeah.
Right. So you need to be measuring what's important and you have to be consistent about it. And then you can't argue with that. it is what it is, and it's real data. And then when you're connecting that to the financials of the organization, then you start to see what's really happening and what's driving the success of the organization. And then you can be part of that solution. There's nothing more valuable than that to anyone who's building a business and growing businesses.
Well, if you'd like to reach out to Tricia on her Twitter, it's at Tricia Ben, and I'm going to spell it because Tricia can be spelled several different ways. There's no SH in this Tricia. It's TRICIABEN, everybody. Facebook.com is Tricia Ben Hero, and her LinkedIn is Tricia Ben. And then obviously HeroCEOClub.com or C-Suite Network. Hey, question about the Hero Club. So you have to be invited, right? Or can somebody reach out to you?
Right.
I want to explain how that works.
Please do. Yes, we have, if you go to our website, HeroCEOClub.com, it's a very simple site. and you'll see some of the things we have coming up, some of the events that we're hosting, really our pledge and what it's all about to be leading a hero business. None of us would call ourselves heroes. We're just desperately trying to aspire to that every day. And if we get an excuse to put on our cape and save the day, we're pretty happy about it. But
or have it dragged through a taxi cab in the middle of town, right?
Yeah.
That happened to you. Yep.
Yes, exactly. Lee and I spoke at an event recently, and I realized once I'd gotten to the event that my very long-tailed blouse was actually like a cape. I was flying in the wind as I got there. So please go to the site. You can apply, and would love to have that conversation with you. If you need like-minded leaders at all different stages of business and all different backgrounds, expertise, experience, and to be able to be in that surrounding of having real conversations, if that rings true to you, and really caring about the impact of the success that you have. We would love to have that conversation with you and look at how we help you get to your successful exits faster.
It's always an excellent room whenever Trish is in it with all these wonderful peers that have been collected and part of the C-Suite Network, which this show is, and we're much better off for it. Tricia, thank you for sharing some of your wisdom today.
Great to talk to you again.
Thank you so much, Audrey and Lee. It's such a pleasure. And I'm so grateful you're part of the network. And Lee, the Hero Club membership as well, and the C-Suite Radio. It's just it's what makes life great.
I respect the hell out of you. I told you that at the Hero Club meeting that we had in Columbus, and consider you to be a friend. And you're very valuable to me. So thank you for sharing your time with me today. And Audrey, it was great.
Grateful too. Thanks, Lee.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and recommend on iTunes, Overcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also get more great information at salesfuel.com.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.